My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Always love to speak with our reporters, especially when our reporters are traveling overseas. We have Greg Stoller calling in today, our international business reporter calling in from China. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you? How do you say How do I say Happy New Year's in Chinese?
It's Xinyan, Yu Kuai.
Okay, same to you.
Thank you.
So you're now in China, and you're setting up for a big trip. Why don't you tell us what's going to be going on?
Sure. So we arrived a couple nights ago. Our listeners are hearing this broadcast from Beijing, China. We ended up traveling on New Year's Day. We met at Logan Airport in the wee hours of the morning, literally. They have to go through a Chinese visa check, and we ended up arriving in Beijing time around midnight last night. We ended up giving the students the day off today until early this evening when we had our regular kickoff dinner so that they can get acclimated to the time difference, et cetera. I've got 21 MBA and law students along with me to the ride, and work starts tomorrow morning on Friday.
Wow. And how long are you going to be there for?
We're going to be here for a week. This is a program that I've been running for the past 10 years at Boston College. 9 of those have been with the same consulting firm, who is our client now, CCAFM, which stands for China Consultants of Accounting and Financial Management. And every year, we're lucky enough that they host 3 of their own clients, their strategy consulting firm, and they host 3 of their own clients to sponsor projects for our MBA and law students.
Wow. And how many students are with you?
I've got 21 students this time around. They run the gamut from students in the full-time and evening MBA program, in the MFA program in accounting, the MSF program in finance, as well as from Boston College's law school. And the 3 projects we're working on are centralized fund management, international mergers and acquisitions, and business model innovation.
And you're the only professor?
I am the only one, and I think the way that we've been able to get this to work is I literally have the entire consulting firm as a partner, so if we ever have a problem with a student, if a student gets ill or something of that ilk, there are numerous people that I'm able to turn to for help, both English-speaking as well as, obviously, Chinese-speaking as well.
Right, right. So, you know, what would we expect students to say as they go home from this?
Well, I think that we've been working on this project since June 1st of last year. We start over the summer through independent studies, and then the official course starts in September. And I think that a very important part of my continuing message to the students is you need to take into account the cultural ramifications of everything you see, everything you hear, and everything you do. Case in point, we had our official kickoff dinner tonight where our clients came and we went to an outside restaurant. On the face of it, that seems pretty normal and pretty, you know, for lack of a better term, ho-hum. But this particular kickoff dinner featured 19 different courses of food. And they literally rolled out the red carpets for myself and for our students. They had a whole separate section set up in a restaurant, 2 giant tables hosting 10 people apiece, and the meal lasted for 2.5 hours and was, in many cases, extremely formal and extremely ritualized because we are officially kicking off or initiating a new relationship since the students have never met these people face-to-face. But on the other hand, it was like any other large multi-course dinner that you could have in the United States.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm looking at a picture you sent, and I really appreciate the picture because you didn't really show any faces of the students, just the food. And looks pretty good, although the soup, it looks quite unusual to me. I've never seen a soup that looked like that.
The soup is, the best way I could probably describe it in English, is it's part tilapia and part cod, but it has quite a kick to it. When they did the ordering, they consulted with me, and they said, how do your students deal with spicy food? And I said, let's try and placate everybody. We, of course, have a vegetarian entree, and some of the food went from bland to extremely spicy. The soup fell into the extremely spicy format. It goes down at the beginning pretty easily, and then all of a sudden, about 30 or 40 seconds later, you say, wow, there's something in there.
Right. Again, can you go through some of the itinerary a little bit more detailed for us?
Absolutely. I'd love to. So every year we have our official kickoff dinner the night before. Tomorrow morning we are going to a briefing at CCAFN's offices where they will officially meet everybody face-to-face. Again, we've been corresponding with these people over email and Skype for 6 months, but this will be the first face-to-face meeting. I have instructed the students to bring gifts with them, ranging from slightly used textbooks to anything that might be emblematic of their own country if they're a non-American student, or something that is fairly iconoclastic of America, Red Sox keychains, Celtics t-shirts, something that is going up, you know, Boston, picture books of Boston, etc. After the kickoff meeting, they will have me give a speech in Chinese, and then the students will divide into their three teams. Each of the students has worked on a single seven-person team throughout the past 6 months, and they will start reviewing these PowerPoint presentations slide by slide over a three-day period. The slides have been written with extremely detailed speaker's notes, all of which has been translated for the moment verbatim into Chinese. The next 3 days, what we will be doing is whittling down a presentation that's probably in excess of 100 slides to something that could be effectively delivered in 60 minutes plus translation time. And I say plus translation time because either the students will be translated word for word, hence the reason we are translating the speaker's notes, or the translator will do everything by section. So the students will present the section, and then they'll summarize the section or translate that section into Chinese. And then on Tuesday of next week is presentation day, where either the clients are going to come to CCAFM's offices or the students will go to the clients' offices directly, and they will present full length, as I said, about 90 minutes to 2 hours in English and Mandarin, and then go through the Q&A process as well.
So what do the clients expect to get out of this?
Well, I think that at the very beginning, the clients, meaning CCFM, looked at this as being a cultural exchange, that it would be a good opportunity for their clients to learn how to speak English better and how to deal with Westerners, but that was 9 years ago. The program has gone through its own growing pains, in the sense we've had to adjust the contents of the presentations in terms of management theory versus management practice, how many case studies do we use, how do we keep those case studies confidential. And now fast forward to the present day, I think that in terms of low-hanging fruit, this clearly gives CCFM prestige within the industries that it does consulting for. But in terms of the clients to whom the work is being presented, I have heard repeatedly from CCFM is that a large percentage of that work is implemented at some point over the next 6, 9, or 12 months, which as a teacher, that's the ultimate thank you to me and certainly to our students, that this isn't just being filed in some bookcase somewhere or saved in somebody's hard drive, but a large portion of the work is actually being implemented and having the clients add value to their own operations, which can only help, of course, CCFM in having been retained, but also by extension the work our Boston College students are doing.
So, Greg, how do you find these companies?
The companies are found by CCAFM. What they generally do is they will vet 5 or 6 project ideas with me in May of every year. I'm fortunate enough to be able to go to Asia at least twice a year. On my second trip to Asia during the spring, I meet with CCAFM in what I refer to as the off-season, where we go through some potential project ideas and some potential clients. We then vet that list down to the 3 most promising ones. At that point, we've already received student resumes and applications. I have CCFM make all of the decisions so I can recuse myself, and I'm not making the student decisions myself. And then we're off and running on June 1st.
Wow. Do you want to tell our listeners again how you started this program?
I started this program. We have, in the first year of the full-time MBA program at Boston College, we have a... it's called the Consulting Clinic. In fact, the faculty member who runs that, Scott McDermott, was on Radio Entrepreneurs a few months ago. We had several enterprising students who were working on cancer medications based on farming products and plants down in Latin America. They took it upon themselves on their own dime to fly down to Latin America and interview farmers, and obviously they did quite well in the course, and the client was very happy. Our dean said, why don't we try this as an elective course? Our first engagement 10 years ago was with a Japanese manufacturing entity based in Thailand, and then through the introduction of another faculty member at Boston College who went through a PhD program with the former number two person at CCFM, that was the introduction, and that was 9 years ago, and we are lucky enough to be have been working with CCFM ever since.
Do you ever come across any other schools doing anything similar to you?
I have found some other schools have international consulting or some variant thereof as a required course. I think the fact that we do it for 6 months, that it's not just considered to be a plain vanilla 14-week course, that we do it over a six-month period, and then we fly over and have the students present twice, once to a client and then a second time to the client's client, makes the program somewhat unique. I also give a lot of credit to CCFM is that we've had to break this process down and build it from the ground up at multiple times over the past 9 years. That's hard. It is never easy to hear frank feedback. Of course, everybody always wants to hear if the feedback is perfect, and I think that we are clearly moving in the right direction. And honestly, I'm really proud of our students, and I'm really proud of the relationship and the trust that we've built with CCFM over an extended period of time.
Okay. Do all your students, are they fluent in Chinese, or are you the only one?
Not at all. My inspiration to study Chinese was actually from CCFM, where they joked after a successful year one, if you don't start studying Chinese, our deal is off. Obviously, this ended in jest, but it was a great inspiration to start studying another language. Some years we've had native Chinese speakers or students who are from Taiwan. This year we have a couple of U.S. students who have lived in China or studied in China before, but the program is really for first-timers, either first-timers to Beijing or first-timers to China, who have an immense interest in management consulting, specifically international consulting, to really learn how the process is done from soup to nuts. So Mandarin language fluency is not a prerequisite at all.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been talking with Greg Stoller, Boston College, international business, speaking to us from Beijing, China, if I'm correct. Greg, if somebody wants to get hold of you, find out more information about the BU program, about the program in China, about you, how would they contact you?
Sure. My Boston College email address is probably the best way of getting in touch with me. It's gregory.stoller1@bc.edu. That's gregory.stoller1@bc.edu, as in Boston College.
Great. Greg, safe consulting and safe trip back. We look forward to seeing you in 2013. I heard a rumor that the reason you were in China was because you were trying to get your money out before the tax cliff, but I think everything's turned out okay.
Yes, it's funny you say that, because when we were in the airport, on New Year's Day, we were getting updates literally on the spot from all the students' mobile phones, and I think we dodged a major bullet for the moment until we have to deal with the debt ceiling crisis.
Well, it gives you and I something to talk about when you come back.
You got it. All right. And thank you again for coordinating the call-in, and to all of our colleagues at Radio Entrepreneurs, the technical gurus who made this possible. It's certainly not for the faint of heart.
Well, thanks again, and we look forward to speaking to you again and hearing more updates about your international trip.
Well, thank you again, Jeffrey, and good night to our listeners from Beijing.
Good. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.